I'm Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined by Gene Phelps, and yes, it's just Gene and I. Blake Morgan, no longer with us. He has taken a new job up in Knoxville, back up where he went to school. So best wishes to Blake. So Gene, it's just you and me, and you're in Pearl. You're not here in studio because you got some baseball going on, don't you?
Plenty of baseball. We had three games yesterday, and it was three really good games. Had an upset of sorts. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but got two teams behind the eight ball already as we go into round two, and one maybe has a possibility of clinching and bringing back a championship if they continue to play like they did yesterday.
Indeed, we'll talk about that. We'll recap Tuesday's games. Of course, we're recording this on Wednesday as the second set of game ones get going, so by the time you listen to this, it may have some game ones in the books, but nothing will be decided before tomorrow as far as champions, and nothing before Thursday. We're also going to quickly recap softball. Had a couple of state champs down there in Ridgeland from last weekend. We got a little bit of football news, and we'll have athletes of the week as we always do. And just remember, there's a variety of ways to listen to this program. Of course, we're in iTunes and your podcast apps. Also, you can stream it online at PrepRally.djournal.com. If you get it in iTunes or an app, click that subscribe button. You'll be notified when a new episode drops. And you can also find out when new episodes drop if you follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Get some good high school sports information in general from that account as well. So, Gene, let's just dive right into baseball here. We had three games on Tuesday, and again, we've got six teams down there in Pearl, Gene. We had five last year, and all five won. And a couple of those teams are back. East Union is back down there, as well as Oxford. We'll talk about them. But six teams, so six chances to bring home a trophy. Let's start with the yesterday, though. Tuesday was a little bit tough for area teams. It went 1-2 there. Smithville, Gene, Nanawaya took them a little bit, but they jumped on Smithville and ended up winning 14-2. Did it against their ace, too, didn't they?
They did, and that doesn't bode well for Smithville Seminoles. You know, they took a 2-0 lead, and then it just they didn't do much afterwards. After they were held to five hits by the Nanawaya pitcher, and Nanawaya just got to them offensively. They were up 8-2 going to the seventh and scored six runs, and it just really got away. I think it's going to be a major task for Smithville to come back and win. This Nanawaya team's pretty good, and they're playing without, I don't know their ace's name. I believe, I'm looking at their lineup, he was maybe Ben Cumberland.
Yeah, he's supposed to pitch him. Yeah.
One of their guys is like, he's going to have Tommy John surgery, so he's not going to be able to pitch in this series.
But, okay. Well, actually, you've got Ben Cumberland down as the starter for Friday. Maybe somebody else then you're thinking of.
Yeah, maybe it's the Coley Taylor, the second baseman, the DH.
Okay.
They said they were DHing him because that's about all he could do.
Okay.
And so they don't have their ace, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Smithville will. Looks like they may go with Blade Scott as the game two starter. He's got a 1.3 ERA, which is really good. But Chris Lockhart had a 0.57 going into the game for Smithville. So obviously Nanawaya knows how to swing the bats there, and they'll meet for game two on Friday. All right, Moorville, now they did come up a winner on Tuesday, looking for their ninth state title, but the first without Rex Berryman as coach. Of course, he retired several years ago, and Moorville is now back in Pearl looking for a title, and got things off to a good start there, Gene, and it was hammer time, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Andy Franks, they call him Hammer, and he was certainly bad. He went 3-for-4, had 4 RBIs, had a double and a triple And he's leading the team in hitting. He was batting 4-11 heading into the state tournament, and he certainly lived up to his expectations. You know, Andrew Pugh, the guy that was the pitching winning pitcher in Game 3 when they beat Kossuth Sunday, who did such an outstanding job, the left-hander, he came up with a big double in the game, two-run double. So Andrew Pugh stepped up with the bat, and of course, Bulbul's got three pitchers, and it's good to have three really good pitchers in a three-game series. And so I don't think pitch count's going to really affect the Troopers that much. I look for them to go with William Armistead, a sophomore who's been their number two guy most of the season and throughout the playoffs. He'll be the starter in game two for them. But they got, you know, Trace Henry's been steady all year. I think he's 12-1 now. His ERA's around 1.00, and he's, you know, he's by far their best player. He's their leadoff hitter. And he was just steady yesterday. He's not an overpowering pitcher. He's not going to throw it in the high 80s or anything like that. He's just going to throw a lot of breaking balls and things. And that's what he did yesterday, just throw up strikes. But the guys hit it, let his defense play behind him. And he walked three and struck out three yesterday. But Derek Thompson, the coach, was really thrilled with the performance he got. He said, "I got what I expected."
Yeah, I know this Mooreville program, as I mentioned, they won 8 titles, all under Rex Berryman. Haven't won one since he stepped down several years ago. Not that they've really been down. I mean, they're still a factor every year, Gene. But does this Mooreville team kind of remind you any of some of Rex's teams from the past?
They're just business-like. They go out and they play ball. And I mean, you could take that 2005 team. And Derek Thompson was a coach on that team, and he said they won that year. And he said, "This is pretty easy." and now, and Mooreville's been back and lost, but it's not easy to win a state championship, and it's still not an easy task, the Seminary team. But, you know, by looking at Seminary play the other day, and they started a kid that only pitched 15 innings. I don't know why they did that. The coach kind of evaded that question the other day, and but they got themselves behind the eight ball real quick. And I look, you know, Mooreville should, with Armistead pitching and Pugh waiting in the wings. I mean, I think they've got a good chance to sweep this thing.
Yeah, they'll play again on Thursday at 7 p.m., so the Troopers have a chance to clinch there against Seminary. In 5A, you've got Oxford trying to repeat as state champs there. They lost game one on Tuesday to Pearl River Central. Had a 4-2 lead going into the seventh and final inning, and then Pearl River puts up a sixth spot, I think it was. 8-4 was the final score. So, Gene, one of those games, it looks like Oxford had things kind of under control. It was a 2-2 game, and then was it the sixth inning they scored a couple to make it 4-2?
Yes, that's what happened. Let me tell you, Pearl River Central can hit. And they can really hit in the middle of that lineup. In fact, they got four doubles and a triple out of the middle of their order. So, and they were hitting the ball. They were just hitting it to people earlier in the game. But you kind of thought, you know, this is Oxford. They got their starter, their good starter going, Carson Stant, and they're up. 2-0 for a while, then 2-1, and 2-2, then they scored and made it 4-2, and you go, okay, there you go. And then Pearl River just exploded there in the top of the seventh and put the game away, and they were finding the holes, and they were ripping it. I mean, they were one of the guys, I believe Eli Lee, had a triple, and it went to the wall out there. I mean, they really tattooed the ball there in the seventh inning. And they, like I said, they had hit during the day, they were just hitting it at people. You know, so I think Oxford's, they're going to have to come back ready to play or they could get swept.
Yeah, they'll play game two on Friday at the 1 p.m. Oxford, yeah, I'm going to try to avoid the sweep and extend the series. So that's Tuesday's games. Wednesday, 3 games scheduled. You know, depending on when you're listening to this, may have a game or two or all three in the books. But, again, nobody's going to win anything before Thursday. So we can still kind of preview these series, Gene. Let's start with Tupelo in 6A, looking for their first state title, I think, since 93. And, you know, this time of year, Gene, it's all about pitching, I think. Maybe that's more so at the higher levels. But if you've got really good pitching going into the state finals, I think you have a very good shot. And we know Tupelo has good pitching, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Tupelo's got two really good pitchers. And Charlie Greer, who has really been effective. He's their number two guy, their game two starter. And, of course, you got Jackson Bridges, who's been their game one starter all year. Both those guys are solid. Now, you get past them, it's kind of a toss-up. But 1-2, Tupelo has been pretty solid.
Yeah.
What Tupelo is going to have to do, I talked with Justin Reed after game two when they swept the Hernando. He said, we've got to be able to hit the ball. They had only had like six hits in the Hernando win.
Yeah.
Took advantage of some errors. And they had timely hits, too. And Tupelo's Reed's not afraid to steal and play small ball, and that's how they've been winning some too. And they're going, but they need to put some hits together. When you get to this level, everybody's pretty good. This Gulfport team is going to score runs.
Yeah,
they have been notorious this year about really hitting the ball. There have been some rumors going around they've been using illegal bats. I said I didn't think we ever heard about that, but unless it was softball. But anyway, illegal bats or no illegal bats, Gulfport's coming in here and they are a great hitting team, from what I understand.
Yeah, they got 28 home runs in 32 games. Now you're playing at Trustmark Park. That's a big that's a big place to, and so that can cut down maybe on the power aspect. They do hit the ball overall fairly well, 295 as a team. Tupelo has only hit 11 home runs, but they're hitting 323 as a team, Gene.
Right.
So it makes for an interesting dynamic there.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I'll tell you what, I've noticed here, and you've noticed, I'm sure, when you've been down here, a lot of times teams have trouble figuring out the big outfield. That's what we saw a lot of.
Yep.
Balls yesterday hit over outfielders' heads, playing a little too shallow. It's hard to get a read of where you need to be out there when you don't have a fence right behind your back about 10 feet, you know?
Yeah.
And some of those long balls that Gulfport hits may drop down for long doubles and triples. You know, Tupelo's going to have to really watch it if they're going to be hitting the long ball, and maybe camp out and maybe give up the single. Instead of give up the double or the triple. It takes some kind of poke to get it out of here.
Yeah, sure does. A couple more teams in action starting today. In 2A, we've got East Union looking to repeat the program won its very first state title last year. Chris Basil has them back there, and Pearl going to take on Lloyd Starr. And, you know, certainly, again, only the one championship, but this program is no stranger to Pearl, Gene. This is what, their seventh appearance in the championship since 1995.
Right.
I think it's the fifth for Basil, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And, you know, that was his first win last year. So they've been down here a lot. They've been in the finals and lost. But last year, they came through, won their first state championship, and they finally put up all the years on the fence. If you go to East Union, there was never any state finals type signage out there, and Basil had said that he was not going to do that until he won one. So now all the tributes are out there for all the Urchin teams that did make it this far, and boy. I don't know a lot about Lloyd Starr. I do know they're 35-2. They were undefeated, I believe, in the pre-tournament.
Right.
So, wow, that's impressive.
Pretty good.
Their two losses have come in the playoffs. So that'll all tell you everything you need to know. I don't know a lot about their lineup. I really didn't have a chance with all these teams down here to do a great analogy of all the teams. But certainly East Union's coming in with some quality players. Joel Wilkinson, a pitcher, is really good. Kate Bell is their leading hitter, second baseman. He's a sophomore, as we're talking about now.
Yeah.
So this is a young team coming back down here. But they're 24-8. East Union got here with a good series sweep, three-game series sweep against a really tough Ingemar team. They also needed three games to beat Eupora, a team a lot of folks thought might be the team down here. playing for the championship this year, and East Union beats them in three games. So after losing the first one, so it'll be a good series. But I think they've got probably one of the toughest tasks down here.
Yeah, certainly. And then in 4A, you've got Corinth taking on West Lauderdale. Of course, Rob Scarborough, he's had some good teams at Corinth over the years, but this is their first appearance in the state finals since 85. The program last won a championship. Okay, you trivia nerds. Last time Corinth won a state title, 1956. It's a long time ago, Gene.
I was a year old.
There you go. Yeah, this team doing a good job. You know, 4A is always tough around here in baseball, Gene. I mean, really tough. Of course, he had Houston was the reigning champ. They got knocked out. And Corinth had to beat a very good Ripley team to get here.
Yeah, swept a good Ripley team. And, Cards got their work cut out for them, too. This West Lauderdale team is coached by Jerry Boatner. And Jerry is like 71, 72 years old. And he has won 13 state championships, and he has been the guy that has won them all. So they are no stranger. The program is no stranger to success in the state championship series, no matter how it's played. And he's probably played in every format.
Yeah.
And they have a pitcher, Chance Denson. I don't know if he's the kid that was committed to Mississippi State. Got in some kind of trouble, supposedly. Mississippi State pulled that commitment, and he is now going to go to Alabama and play. I read the other day that one of the last times he pitched, there were a lot of scouts there, major league scouts, and he was throwing in the low 90s. So I don't know how much Corinth has seen in the low 90s. But,
yeah, Jerry Boatner.
West Lauderdale team's got an impressive record, too. They're 31-2.
Yeah, Jerry Boatner. I mean, these championships go back to his first championship was in 1978. I mean,
that's right.
And he's been gone. Yeah. I was two.
Yeah, I was working at the Hattiesburg American. That was my first year, and I know Hattiesburg High School in West Lauderdale, even though they weren't the same classification, they respected each other's programs, and it was a big rivalry. Coach Buckner, a lot of people probably know him from this, but he likes to yodel. And so when he's coaching down at third base, he'll yodel, and it usually startles and rattles the opponent, especially the third baseman that he's not prepared for. It's just something he's always done. It's some kind of quirky thing. And, that's going to be a good series. Corinth playing down here for the first time in a long time, they have certainly drawn the New York Yankees as their opponent when it comes to high school baseball.
Certainly. Y'all can look for all of our coverage from down there in the Journal and, of course, at djournal.com. So lots of baseball to cover. Let's quickly hit on softball, Gene. We had a couple of area teams win state titles last weekend in Ridgeland in the fast pitch softball finals. Tupelo, Gene, winning their first state title. Dana Ray, just his second year, and I talked a good bit last week before the finals with Braden Bishop, who was our guest co-host last week, about the job Dana's done. This is not surprising, Gene, considering his history, is it?
No, and it's all about, I think people have had the players to win this thing. Yeah, I think it's about attitude, and Dana's changed the attitude there. And, and they struggled some this year, and they lost some key games. Of course, they went without Ivy Watts for a while because she had a back problem, and she wasn't getting the pitch a lot. Of course, they've got Tay Wren. Another young pitcher, Ivy's a sophomore. I believe Tazy, they're a freshman, they're a sophomore. And when Ivy came back healthy and they started pitching her, she doesn't throw with the power that Tay Wren does. She's got a lot of good off-speed pitches and throws a screwball and rise ball and drop ball. I mean, she's got a really good arsenal of pitches. And she comes from a softball family.
Yeah.
And they started hitting the ball. They hit up and down the lineup. They have a senior, Alicia Kraft, who's a center fielder. She started the season off batting lead off, and she just wasn't productive. And Dana Ray moved her to the number 9 spot in the order. And she got her average up to about 250 headed into the playoffs, and then she went crazy.
Yeah.
She's a slap hitter, and she was batting 650 going into the championship series.
Wow. That's not
bad. She was really – but they were hitting up and down the lineup. They started finding some power. Katie Reed's first baseman hit some big home runs. I mean, in every series people have played in, they were not the favorite. Yeah. And they were going to lose to Clinton. And they came back and won, swept two games after losing game one. They weren't going to beat the Southern Central. Same thing. They weren't going to beat Madison Central. And then they come down here. They weren't going to beat Harrison Central because Harrison Central was the three-time defending state champion.
Yep.
They had a record of 30-4.
Yeah.
and Tupelo was the three seed coming from its division headed into the state tournament.
Yeah, and swept them. So there you go. So congrats to Tupelo softball. Mooreville softball, no surprise. They won another title, second in a row, Gene. And the reigning Daily Journal Player of the Year, Hallie Donald, did what she does best. The senior tossed two complete games, and over the course of those two games allowed just one run on seven hits. She struck out 10 total.
What a way to end her career.
Yeah, she hit a home run as well in game one. They wised up and walked her all four times in game two, but it didn't matter because they've got players like Summer Kreider on that team. So,
right.
So
yeah.
The
Mooreville came down here. Mooreville always kind of seemed happy to be here, even though they had a great team. I've covered them the two previous years when they lost to Philadelphia, and then last year when they beat Philadelphia and had a big lead going to the last inning and almost lost. This year, they just came down here and handled business.
Yeah, they did.
And they were determined. They went, hey, you know, we're the best team in the state. Let's just go ahead and get this thing over.
Exactly.
And Hallie Dahl, man, she just, what a way to end an unbelievable career for that young lady. And she's going to Jones Junior College, which is one of the state powers in Coast softball.
So. That's number one team in the nation right now, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit of football coaching news real quick. Last week we learned that Mooreville had found a replacement for John Keith. Jimmy Young, defensive coordinator the past few seasons, is now going to be the head coach at Mooreville. Of course, Gene, John Keith was there for a year, and now we know that he has gone back to Tupelo, as we figured was the case, to rejoin Trent Hammond.
I don't know a lot about the situation. John wanted to go home. Mooreville was home for him. He also is really good friends with Trent Hammond, Tupelo's coach. And Tupelo's going to be really good the next 2 years. And John really likes Stephon McGlon, the quarterback at Tupelo.
Yeah.
And that young man's got two more years, and he's going to really be a star.
Yeah.
If he continues the way he's been going, if he's got John Keith over there working with him, he's going to really turn out to be a great one. That's just a really good Tupelo team. I think Mooreville moving up to 4A, that is going to be tough for football for Mooreville.
Yeah, it sure is.
So there's probably a number of factors that played into that, but I'm glad Jimmy Young, they were promoted from within, a guy who was deserving, who had been there on the staff, and who had stuck with it through a coaching change. So good for him and good for Mooreville.
Indeed. Let's close out the show. We're running a little bit long here. That's all right. We got athletes of the week, and we do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments on the field of play or on the court, in this case, the diamond. Here's our female athlete of the week, Ivy Watts, the sophomore from Tupelo. Of course, she led the Lady Wave to that state 6A title. And in the over the two games, in the clincher, she hit two home runs and was the winning pitcher in that 7-3 win. And in game one, she had three hits, including a home run, was the winning pitcher. So winning pitcher both games, a total of three home runs, Gene. And like you mentioned earlier, I mean, she's just a sophomore. So
right. She's been a good player the last couple of years, and she battled through an injury this year.
That's right.
A very debilitating back injury.
Yeah.
Well, So it must be okay.
I guess so. She played awfully well. Our male athlete of the week, Grant Johnson, senior for Smithville. He tossed a complete game shutout in the Game 3 win over TCPS back in the North Finals. And Grant struck out three, allowed just five hits. So that was a big clutch performance by that senior for Smithville. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for joining us. And again, be sure to follow Gene on Twitter, at Gene Phelps, for updates from the MHSAA baseball tournament. You can follow the show on Twitter, at DJournalPreps. Get a lot of other good high school sports information from that account as well. We'll be back, I reckon, next Wednesday, Gene, and we'll see who won state titles down there. So we'll check in with you next Wednesday, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.